Good morning, Northern Michigan, and welcome to Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne is in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. Rich, I'm sorry that we can't get J-Bo to remember your name.
What's that guy's name?
What is it again?
Oh, that's right.
Well, I forget. These guys don't listen to the radio station
no, that's
unless
not
they're
true.
On.
I missed that one, though. That's great.
Every day, with
JC and
Keith.
JC and who?
Who's that other guy?
Right. Oh, that's great. Live on the radio. I love it.
Yeah, well, you got to love live radio, and that's what we got here. We should have continued the discussion about the Raiders fans.
Oh,
it'll be interesting to see if they show up in Vegas like that.
I'm sure they will.
Have you seen that stadium?
Oh, man.
I mean, a Raider fan is going to feel like very out of sorts the first time they walk into that
too
building.
Too cushy.
Oh, it doesn't fit the Raider motif at all.
The stadium is so – it's like one gigantic suite.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's
all
amazing.
Of these guys are outdoing each other. The one in Southern California, now the one in Vegas, all that. JC, they're all trying to outdo each other, and they do it. It's pretty amazing when down at Jerry World now, you know, he thought that was – and that's still a cool stadium, don't get me wrong. But these other guys are one-upping him now.
What was the price tag on that?
It was less than what they built – the LA stadium for, but that's only because I think building costs were cheaper in Vegas than. I mean, I think they're like $1.8 billion for the stadium. So, that will be one of the very cool things about the upcoming NFL season. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers. No, I'm kidding. Screw ESPN. I am so tired of what it passes for sports news, no matter what. Oh, what is Aaron Rodgers doing today?
Day in, day out. It's like, get something else to talk about.
Oh, my God. Give me a freaking break. Oh, well, where would Julio Jones go? The only thing I know that Julio Jones isn't coming to Detroit. That's the only thing I know.
He's leaving Atlanta. He's not coming to Detroit.
That's right. We wanted to get back to a normal type of program. We'll start off with the Tigers, who, you know, guys, to me, I really enjoy what I'm seeing from the Detroit Tigers. A.J. Hinch is doing a lot of the same kind of stuff that Dwayne Casey is doing for the Pistons.
Yes.
You know, building a team, a team of guys that really cares for each other. We're seeing a little bit of improvement, Keith, in the fielding, at least in the last week.
We are.
I don't know how much of that is them working on fundamentals. And you know, like, kudos to Jonathan Scope for playing a decent second base the other night.
Oh.
He's a professional baseball player.
He is.
He, you know, he fills
but going from first base to, you know,
he's a natural second baseman.
Yes, that's his position.
My guess is he grew up a shortstop like all infielders do.
Well,
and he can
all
play anywhere.
Great, the best player on the team is
either always
somebody
who
can get over the plate. Right, exactly. But, I mean, they played the White Sox pretty much even up last night.
Mm-hmm.
Mize gave up a couple of home runs, and the Tiger bats were as silent as they have been in about a month.
They faced a hell of a pitcher, though. My goodness.
Oh, Lance Lynn is
he's 7-1 with a ridiculous – I don't even have the number down here.
It's less than
under,
two. It's like
under two.
Yeah, it's under 1-8 something. Yeah.
You know, he gave up 4 hits in 6 innings. The only run was a home run by Willie Castro. But, you know, in Casey Mize, 7 innings pitched. He only gave up 5 hits, but 3 of them were home runs.
Yes.
Three runs, 6 walks, no strike, 6 strikeouts,
no
walks.
Yes.
Another really nice outing for the rookie.
He kept his pitch count down. That's allowed him to go 7 there. I mean, it just was, you know, he really pitched well. That first home run he gave up in the first inning was just a great hit by the left-handed hitter. I can't think of who it was. But he went down low. It was 6 inches off the ground.
Right now, the White Sox are the betting favorite to win the American League Championship. You know, I see it in their record. But they don't impress. I mean, they're not a team like the Astros were the last couple of years, or the Red Sox, or whatever. You know, I'm trying to figure out who to bet on against the White Sox.
Yeah,
you know, and maybe it might be Tampa.
Right.
You know, they just, you know, this was the first time they've always make it into the playoffs. You're like, what the hell is Tampa doing in the playoffs? But you know, they finally broke through and made it to a World Series this past year. And then got rid of a lot of guys, and here they are back at it again.
Yeah.
But, you know, the White Sox, are. We'll see what they can do this
year.
They're
not a great established power, but they're on the cusp of becoming one.
Yes.
They were rebuilding like Detroit has for years and years.
Yeah.
And finally, those players are all coming, and they're going to be pretty good for a long time if they can keep the band together.
Right. And getting back to the Tigers a little bit last night, 3, 4, and 5 hitters, 0 for 12. Yeah. Scope's been hitting the ball really well lately, so yeah. I'm going to cut him some slack.
Area.
And yes, absolutely. Yeah. But again, right now, Miguel had a great hit the other night to a bases-loaded double that cleared the bases. Good for him. But he's back down to 188. Mazzara's under 200 now. So that 3, 4, 5 that you need to be productive, last night didn't get it done. Hopefully tonight they do. But you combine their averages, they're averaging 208 right now, those 3, 4, and 5.
The batting average is .236, Rich.
I know.
I'm just telling you.
Right. Pitching is king right now.
You know, you were talking last week, Keith, about how the Tigers won that 1-0 game on a single, a stolen base, a sack fly, and everything else.
Yeah.
There was a game, I don't know who played two nights ago on Wednesday, where that was the only run scored, period.
Mm-hmm.
There was like 4 hits in the entire game,
and it
was a sack fly run. I mean, look at the scores of baseball games.
Yeah.
I do the bet of the day every day, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday's bet was like stealing money.
Right.
The Tigers over and under was eight runs.
Yeah, you're right.
With stealing those two
money. That was stealing money.
Right.
I get the Tigers. I've made a lot of money betting on the Tigers in the last month of the year.
It's going to be the same way today, tonight with Spencer Turnbull against Dallas Keuchel.
And it's the same way as coming up likely in the NHL under 5.5 goals.
That
was my bet. I started betting hockey again.
under 5 and a good chance to go into overtime.
Well, that's what happened.
Yeah.
One of the bets that I had yesterday was Carolina winning at +142. Jabel kept telling them they're going to win, they're going to win. I said, yeah, you like that? And I like the goals against under 5.5.
Yep.
Same thing with the Avalanche game the day before.
You talk about what A.J. Hinch is doing with the Tigers, and I absolutely agree. You see signs of development and progress and all that. They got a lot of work to do, as Al Avila said, but there's some things to like about this team. Still, in 56 games this year, they're 23-33. Last year, they played 58 games total. They were 23-35, so they're kind of on pace of last year, but 106, 107 losses.
The feeling is so much better.
I'm tired of hearing that because they had a bad set there, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this is not the same Tiger team that lost 17 out of 19 games, Keith.
I get that, yeah. I'm just pointing out some numbers.
Fine. Numbers tell a story, and sometimes numbers tell the story that's not what we're seeing now. That's not what my eyes tell me. That they tell me right now this is a .500 ball club.
The feeling around this team is so much better right now. I believe that the feeling that I get from the team itself, from the fans, from everybody. You see this team, if you really watch them, they're much different than last year, the year before, and the year before that. It's a different team.
They're taking themselves more seriously, it seems.
Derek Hill coming up now. He went down to Toledo. Give him the former first-round pick, in 2015 or something like that. And he's 25 now. But the kid hit over .350 down at Toledo. Hopefully, he plays great defense. And his biggest thing is, can he hit the ball consistently?
Right.
He's got good speed. He plays great defense in the outfield. Let's see what hopefully another one of these young guys that we had high hopes for can come up and do something.
Yeah. The starting pitching is a strength.
Really good.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's really good.
And now the bullpen is starting to be better than just Fulmer.
Yes, in the past, I saw one of the papers. I think it was Evan Petzl in the Free Press mentioned that since the mid-May, the Tigers bullpen is one of the three best, like with a 1.82 ERA or something like that. So that's coming.
Well, I mean, if you've got good starting pitching and the bullpen shores things up, you don't have to score a lot of runs.
That's right.
I mean, you know. Like we said, the league-wide batting average right now is under .240. It's on pace to be the lowest batting average in the live ball era.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
since worse than 1968, 69, 70 before they lowered the mound.
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
It is. And
but we've got the right manager for that squad because he's not afraid to play small ball.
Right.
You know, what are the Yankees going to do?
Exactly.
Bunt?
Yeah. What's that? Exactly.
Spell it.
Yeah.
I love your analogy to your comparison to Dwayne Casey with what he's doing with the Pistons, too. Did you see him, Dwayne Casey,
in the interview
the other night?
Loved it.
How do you not love that guy? You know what he's doing in the offseason, JC?
I did not hear the interview.
He's coaching his son's Little League baseball team.
Yep.
And it seems like he's enjoying that a hell of a lot more than coaching the Detroit Pistons.
It's Memorial Weekend. He's got his family at the ballpark. They're taking in the game. And like he said, he's coaching Little League baseball in his off time. And just loves Detroit. He's really embraced it. So it's cool to see.
Well, absolutely. You know, we'll talk about that a little later on about we're going to talk about the NHL draft and what happened to the Pistons. The Pistons are going to get, at worst, the sixth pick in the NBA draft. Right. They could end up with the first. And anywhere between first and fourth, and the Pistons are going to get a change player, a player that's going to change the franchise. So we'll see if they get any better luck than that. But speaking of the NBA, I was trying to figure out how to bet against the Lakers properly. Because I saw this coming a little bit longer, and really it was the talking heads that, LeBron will fix everything, and it just didn't happen. They were the betting favorite, even with injuries, that to win the NBA title, and of course they got really run out of their own building.
Absolutely. They did, Anthony Davis, the letters AD should now stand for always dinged. Because he's he's a great player.
He is a great player.
Great player, but there's always... I know.
You get hurt playing basketball. I mean, you get hurt playing most sports, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Kurt Gibson decided not to play NFL football because he thought his career would be better and injury-free in baseball, and we know that's not wasn't
no.
the case.
He was hurt in baseball quite a bit.
Like Mickey Mantle.
Yeah, and right. What if he would have played?
Injuries are part of sports. I've talked about my injury history a lot, and some guys are really lucky that they don't get hurt very often. LeBron James has only been hurt twice in his entire career.
He's an anomaly,
I mean, he doesn't look like a basketball player.
No, for sure.
For most humans, when you're playing sports, if you don't get hurt, you're doing it wrong.
You have some guys that are just blessed.
Yes, absolutely.
Until the very end of his career, Eric Kaline was never hurt.
He was hurt a couple times. He broke a collarbone diving for in the middle of his career. But you're right, not a lot. Not a lot.
Not compared to Mickey Mantle or guys.
No, that's right.
Carl Yastrzemski was never hurt.
Yeah, that's right.
I just saw his kid went on the IL. The Giants are playing some pretty good baseball, beat the Cubs yesterday. But, the NBA playoffs, to me, are going have been very interesting, especially since I'm winning money there as well. But you've got the biggest matchup coming up starting on, Sunday when the Nets play the Bucks.
What a series that's going to be.
That's one of the bets that I said yesterday. I like the Bucks at +550 to win the NBA championship.
That addition with Holiday has really made a difference with that team.
They play really good defense. It's going to be really interesting to see the yin and the yang between the Nets because, the Bucks have been playing high-level basketball. The Nets have just been kind of and duck
show
it.
Up and have fun.
That's not going to happen against this basketball team. If it does, then you're going to be looking at the anointed NBA champs pretty much, right?
The Bucks seem really focused this year. They don't want to, they went out early in the bubble last year and just were, hated that the way it turned out. But now in this postseason, they're really focused and they want to win the chip.
Yeah, I mean, to see them now, I thought they made a huge mistake not going after Chris Paul. But the additions that they've made has turned that team into Drew Holiday. I remember him at UCLA. He was a pretty good player at the Pelicans, but you never really saw those guys play on TV.
Right.
Holiday has always been a scorer, but he's a great defensive basketball player. This guy is really the whole package and has kind of changed the mindset. Giannis plays ball on both ends of the court.
Right.
And they've got a great rotation of players. It'll be interesting to see what those other net players, like our buddy Blake Griffin, is going to bring into the series, because everybody's going to have to contribute. It's not just going to be Harden going for 44 or Durant going for 45 one night after another. But, you know, as the playoffs are here, guys, you're in Hoops Heaven. I'm so in Hoops Heaven. Thank God Cheryl's leaving for this weekend. Betting all the action on FanDuel Sportsbooks makes that heaven so appealing. There are so many exciting matchups, and FanDuel is taking that excitement to another level because new and existing users can bet risk-free throughout the playoffs. New users get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. Plus, once you have an account, you can bet one same-game parlay risk-free every week.
And that means you can combine multiple bets and in to get an even bigger win. So many NBA market options like player point totals, rebounds, over-under, and more. It's a chance to make a small bet and win big. And if you don't win, you'll get up to $10 back. Now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot.
Time to give FanDuel a shot. Just sign up with promo code WGRY to bet the NBA playoffs risk-free, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
Yeah, and listen to JC on the bet of the day.
Make some money.
Well, no, I mean, this week with J-Bo, with yesterday's wins, we were with 2 for 3 last night.
Nice.
That's I'm 10 for 13 for the week.
That is...
And the week before
that was...
You're
in the wrong business.
No, I'm just telling you. You know, unfortunately, I haven't bet all these games. I don't want to get into what happened last night because I had a little shutdown with the sites. You really have to make sure that you get these accounts, guys, and get them established because they will check to make sure that you're in the state of Michigan.
Right.
Sometimes that process takes a little bit more. I was trying to get my over bet in, and I didn't get it in on time. So, you know, it was a win on paper, which is not the same as getting the money in your FanDuel account.
That's right.
When we return here on Friday Faceoff, we're going to have a guest with us on the phone, Anthony Bellino from the X's and Bros show that's on every morning, weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. It's a local sports show, and we want to have Anthony on so you get a little flavor from him. They're going to be up broadcasting from a number of locations the week after next.
Good.
Yeah, and I've got I'm going to have a really long week. Anyways, we'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, presented by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. We are back here on Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And on the phone with us is Anthony Bellino from X's and Bros, the radio program we have here Monday through Friday mornings from 6 to 9 a.m. And Anthony, we've had you on our entire network for a few weeks, so we wanted to get a little introduction to our audience, especially the Friday Faceoff show. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How is everybody?
All right.
Doing good, Anthony.
Anthony,
good. Glad to hear it.
Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your sports background, and X's and Bros.
So I began in the sports broadcasting field when I got to college. I went to a very prestigious Mid-American Conference university by the name of Bowling Green State University. So I started trying to kind of climb the ranks. I started working at the University of Toledo. I was working for the Toledo Mud Hens and the Toledo Walleye. What I did for each one of those organizations is the public address announcing. So I had Toledo Rockets football, men's basketball, women's basketball, the Mud Hens and the Walleye, which are the AAA affiliate of the Tigers and the ECHL affiliate of the Red Wings. And then from there, I spent one season with the Jacksonville Jaguars doing NFL football games. My boss in Jacksonville left there, went to the University of Michigan. I was already doing some of the ancillary sports there in Michigan, like, I would have baseball, softball, soccer, things of that nature. But that's why I got the Michigan basketball PA job in 2015, right around same time. I began as the in-game host for the Detroit Lions. So I spent a majority of my time basically just driving around in circles in my car up 75 and across 94 and down 23. I just drive around in circles, go to games, and then I started to because of the connection of Michigan, Matt Shepard, who was the host of X's and Bros, and got the play-by-play job for the Detroit Tigers on Valley Sports Detroit. He knew that I was doing radio in Toledo and that I had a two-hour program there that I was hosting solo, and he asked me one day to fill in for him while the Michigan Wolverines hit the road, and we just kind of, you know, developed and cultivated that relationship. So when he got the job with the Detroit Tigers, he was like, hey, you know, here's an opening. What do you think? And I said, yeah, let's do it. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, so that's quite a varied past there, Anthony. And when you were part of the University of Michigan women's softball broadcast team, that's talk about one of the more consistent programs, not only in the state, but in the country.
Oh, I mean, Hutch does, she does an incredible job there. And that program is just, I mean, talk about a model of consistency. And when I was with, you know, doing baseball and softball there at the stadiums, you know, the baseball program, they were, you know, they're around 500, maybe a few games better, but nothing towards like the level of success that the softball program has had. And that's really what it's all about. It's all about consistency, right? Everybody can be, you know, good for a season, but can you be consistently good? Like we saw Keith and your work covering the Red Wings with your book, The Russian Five. I have it sitting on my counter over here.
Thank you.
But you know, can you be consistently good over the course of 5 years or 10 years or 15 or 25 or whatever the case may be? And I think that when you think about Michigan softball, I mean, the program that Coach Hutch has built there is simply incredible. And then you look at, you know, even with men's basketball, with Juwan Howard taking the reins from John Beilein, what John Beilein built, resurrected the program, handed off. You talk about a smooth transition to Juwan Howard in his first couple of years have been outstanding. And I guess we're all just kind of waiting on the football program, right? I mean, we're all just kind of holding our breath and waiting for football to kind of catch up.
Anthony, you've been around all these sports for a long time. Do you have a passion, a favorite sport that you like to let you really get into talking about in the radio?
Don't say hockey.
I would say, you know, from the radio perspective, I really try to stay in tune with what's happening right here and right now. And I think that going on a day-to-day basis, you know, just tends to work a little bit better, because if you approach it one day at a time, you'll always have something to talk about. If you try to, you know, try to project or get too far ahead of yourself, then sometimes you might run short or you might miss something that happened that I feel is important. Because with the morning show, you know, I don't know how listeners necessarily feel about this, but I kind of like the idea of, you know, bringing in it's almost like newsworthy, right? I mean, what happened the night before? How can we catch you up and get you up to speed on everything that took place the night before that you might have missed while we were up? I mean, one of my cohorts that I work with, Dan Cahalan, he works for Valley Sports Detroit. So he's on the Pistons broadcast and on the Tigers broadcast and the Red Wings broadcast behind the scenes doing graphics and cameras and everything else. So, you know, we're pretty dialed into what's happening. And I think that from a radio perspective, whatever's in season, that should take the priority. And then you just kind of work your way down the list from there.
That's a perfect answer, Anthony. So your favorite sport is whatever's newsworthy at the moment. And that's bringing the news to listeners in the morning first thing, what they missed last night. I like that perspective.
So, Anthony, the flavor of the month right now is Tiger baseball. And you have a little experience with Chris Federer, who was the Michigan pitching coach and had that great staff when they made that run all the way to the finals, the Henry kid who played basketball with his dad. And I love his approach that is starting to get ingrained with this pitching staff the Tigers have.
It's really been quite, quite phenomenal to watch. I mean, because this is what we've been waiting for, like perspective. And for those that cover the team, we've heard all about these great young arms that are going to be the foundation and the building block, whether it's Tarik Skubal or Casey Mize, Matt Manning, who's still hanging out in AAA, who I believe, like, hey, he might be struggling a little bit right now. Maybe his numbers aren't exactly what you'd like to see at the AAA level. But bring him up and let Chris Federer get his hands on him, because I think that his approach with this pitching staff and the way that A.J. Hinch has managed using whether it's Fulmer coming out of the bullpen, but not necessarily making somebody a quote unquote reliever in the typical sense, like your middle reliever and then your closer, but trying to put his best arms out there in high leverage situations where they can kind of maximize and giving those guys a good game plan going in the work that Chris Federer has put in with his pitching staff and how well they've pitched. If they can find any sort of run support whatsoever, they'll be a competitive team. And I think that, you know, they definitely need to improve up the middle. That much is for certain. When you look around the diamond outside of Jamer Candelario, who's having a really nice season, you know, how many of those guys could you project to be a contributor? Maybe Robbie Grossman, but could they contribute on another team that's vying for the playoffs? I think that's really the question you have to ask yourself. And that's where, you know, some of the other talent at the positions needs to, you know, really, I mean, talk about catching up. Those guys got to kind of get on their horse and get both pieces working, because you have this pitching staff that is really, I think, overachieving, but they just can't get the run support.
Well, we were just talking about that. I mean, that is a league-wide problem. And, I mean, what the league batting average right now is below 240, which means it's going to be the lowest in the live ball era. As a bigger picture, do you think this is going to be detrimental to baseball, Anthony?
I think we discussed it a lot, but I think at the end of the day, baseball fans watch baseball. I think that the biggest problem facing baseball, I believe, is youth involvement. And how do you get kids involved in the game of baseball to reminisce back in the days of the 1950s and 60s, when that's what kids did. They got together and they played ball outside. That ball has changed. Mm-hmm. Now people, you know, kids play catch with the football, or they hit the basketball court, and we're evolving a little bit. You know, boxing in the Olympics used to be number one on the sports fans' calendar, and those sports have kind of taken a back seat to some of the current flavors of the time. But I think when you look at baseball, there's no punishment for swinging and missing, right? I mean, it used to be like, oh, if you struck out a whole bunch, well, you know, that's not very good. But all the analytics folks tell us it's okay if you strike out, because if you do connect on one of these things and send it over the fence, now we have ourselves a ball game. So you look at the Tigers game from last night, for example. They lose 4-1 to the White Sox. So there's 5 total runs scored in that ball game. Every single run scored was a solo home run. You know, guys are struggling to get on base. They're not putting the ball in play because there isn't necessarily that same reward that there once was. And just look at the shift, right? We talk all the time about how, you know, certain people want the shift banned. Well, just you're a professional. Hit the ball the opposite way, and you don't have to worry about the shift.
Yeah, and I also saw there was a memo just recently released by the MLB that they're going to go after pitchers that have been doctoring the baseball. I guess there's a lot of evidence out there right now, Anthony, that pitchers have been doing this, and they're going to really crack down on them as well.
Well, whatever their crackdown is, I'm really intrigued to see that, because I remember a team not too many seasons ago that was literally cheating in-game using different sound effects, if you will, to tip pitches, and they didn't really do anything to any of those folks. I mean, they spent a couple managers, but outside of that. So I'd be real intrigued to see how exactly. I know that they're taking some of the balls. Trevor Bauer is one of the guys that had some of his baseballs that he used that were sent directly to MLB. The umpire grabbed them and, I guess, flagged them or whatever. And, you know, they send them on. So I'm not sure what the suspension is going to be. They're constantly, fact that, you know, many might not know is that, you know, a lot of your clubhouse guys, they spend a lot of time working in the clubhouse doctoring the baseball. Specifically for pitchers, you know, new balls come in, they spend a lot of time, you know, rubbing dirt on them, scuffing them up, making them so that the pitchers get a good feel for them, because nobody wants to throw a brand new ball out of the box. So I don't know really what the answer is to Major League Baseball and some of the issues that they've had with, you know, guys trying to gain a quote unquote competitive advantage and or cheating, depending on how you look at it. I'm not really sure what the answer is for them, but if they're going to levy a suspension, it's got to be a heavy one. I mean, look at what the NHL just did in a 4-game suspension to Scheifele the other night for his hit in the Canadiens game. You send a message, you levy a heavy suspension. If they're going to do that to pitchers, it's got to be something that gets everybody's attention, not just a slap on the wrist.
You know, Anthony, you just mentioned something a few minutes ago that is frustrating to me. That's involving kids in baseball again. And nothing saddens me more than driving down the road and seeing a sand lot empty with no kids on it, and you see it everywhere. Kids are not playing ball. And when you go to the ballpark, in my view, you don't see enough kids there at the ballpark because the ticket prices are so high. What do you have any theories as to how we can get kids more involved in baseball to keep this sport alive 20, 30, 50 years from now?
Well, I think that part of it is the sandlot might be empty, but the travel ball field is full. And this is always a very interesting dynamic when you start to think about the effects of travel baseball and some of the negatives that we've seen. Now, obviously, there's positives as well. You know, kids learning to compete at a higher level at a younger age. I think that that's important. I think that, you know, teaching children to be competitive in an era where everybody's a winner and it's okay and you did your best and that's good enough. Sometimes that's not good enough. That's a harsh reality. for a lot of people to understand, right? So I think that when you look at the effect that travel ball has had, you know, a lot of these kids are on the move all summer long, whether they're playing travel basketball, travel baseball, 7-on-7. Football has really taken over, and you have more kids involved with that nonstop. But I think that for a parent who's like, okay, so you guys are in Northern Michigan, right? I mean, we'll be up there in a couple weeks enjoying the area with you guys. And, you know, you look at the Pit Spitters, or maybe it's West Michigan, or you got to try to find a game that you can get to that maybe isn't that 4.5, 5-hour commute down to the Motor City to get your kids interested in baseball, if you as a parent are interested in that. And I'm one of those people that, you know, expose your kid to every sport and see what they like, and whatever they like, you just roll with that.
One real quick question, Anthony. I don't know how your listenership and the people calling in, what do you think the feeling of the Pistons is right now?
Oh, I mean, they talk about my sweet spot. I mean, I'm ready to build it. It's a statue for Troy Weaver right now. Put it on top of Little Caesars. Maybe paint a mural instead of the pizza guy. We can just have Troy Weaver's face on top of this thing. I mean, this guy, you want to talk about, I mean, taking a bulldozer to that roster, the whole Blake Griffin experiment, like, it was great. Thanks so much for getting us to the playoff that one year and playing against Milwaukee in a series where your leg looked like it was mummified. But at the same time, I mean, Troy Weaver being able to completely overturn and revamp this entire roster, the talent that he had an eye for, and Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart and some of these guys in the draft, Killian Hayes, we saw a lot of progress from him. If his, you know, rookie campaign wouldn't have been halted by that hip injury, I really like what Troy Weaver's doing. We need a good bounce in the lottery, hopefully, that will land a Cade Cunningham or an Evan Mobley or a Jalen Suggs. But, I mean, Pistons fans are excited right
now.
So
if you had the first pick, who do you take?
If I have the first, I've gone back and forth with this nonstop, you know, because they just drafted Killian Hayes, and he's the kind of point guard that's much more like a Chauncey Billups, much more of a floor general, wants to pass first, initiate the offense. I think that you put Cade Cunningham with another guard like Killian, where both of them can play on the ball or off the ball. I think that that's a great mix. And if somehow Cade goes off the board first and the Pistons don't get him, if you have to settle with Evan Mobley, a 7-foot-1 Gumby-looking character, because he's so tall and so thin, but his frame and his ability to put the ball on the floor, to pass it, to shoot it, to go inside, his post moves are incredible. Andre Drummond should probably watch some film on him and learn a few things. But you pair him with Isaiah Stewart, and you've got yourself a really good front court. I honestly think that the Pistons are the closest to turning this thing around out of the four major franchises.
Well, I mean, if they get Cunningham if they get the second pick, I think you got to take Suggs, because that guy is going to be a superstar in this league. Maybe they'll get lucky. I mean, with all the Red Wings unluck, the Pistons are due. You know, maybe somewhere in the back room, somebody's going like, you know, it might be cool again to have the Pistons in the league, because whenever the Pistons are great, it seems like the NBA is just a little bit better. Anthony, we got to get going. We're at the bottom of the hour. Thanks so much for taking the time out to join us. Looking forward to seeing you in person. We're going to have you up here, a week from today, visiting a few local golf courses. And, of course, you're going to also be broadcasting from the Michigan Open.
Very excited about it. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Thanks so much, Anthony. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Friday Faceoff, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. No, he's better than Jim Price.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Dan Petrie get a little bit of a taste of that stuff.
I think Petrie's doing a good job. I don't know where Bally's is at. We're back here on Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And after talking to Anthony Bellino, we just started talking about announcers. And as you heard Anthony say, that show started off with Matt Shepard.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't have the time to dictate, although he's on the program almost every day talking about the Tigers. And, you know, as much as we dislike Jack Morris, I think he's gotten very comfortable with Matt. I think that's part of the deal is Matt. And he does bring some insights to pitching, Keith.
I agree.
Can't dump
No.
16 years of total BS that, I mean, you experienced almost on a daily basis.
Yeah. Some of those guys in that 84 team was a fun team to cover, but not very fun to be around some of those guys.
Sure.
And, you know, Morris is one. Kirk Gibson, you mentioned a few minutes ago, as much as I like the way he played the game, tough guy to deal with in the dressing room.
Horrible, and on top of that, horrible to the fans.
Yes.
You know, that is the thing that I really hated about most of that 84 team. I mean, you know, Petrie was okay. Yep. Darrell Evans was okay.
Darrell Evans.
Oh, a lot of those guys were really good. Petrie, Darrell
you
Evans,
would know better. You had a better...
Trammell, which was a space cadet.
Yeah.
But you get...
Marty Castillo, great guy.
Yeah, sure. Yep. And the prince of them all, I think, was Lance Parrish.
Yeah.
You know, he could strike out four times in a game. You walk into the dressing room and you say, hey, Lance, you got a second? Tell me about, you know, 0 for 4 strikeouts. He folds his arms and looks in the eye and I was terrible today. I couldn't hit a beach ball.
Had a great-looking wife.
I love Lance Parrish. But, that, you know, Chet Lemon, you know. This was a fun team to be around. But announcers, Kirk Gibson does a pretty good job these days. He's turned his life around in terms of his relationship with fans and so on. Maybe Jack Morris has to.
If you notice when Matt Shepard introduces himself and Jack Morris, he says, my friend, Jack Morris. So they've developed this friendship also, and I think that's really helped out with them two working together.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rich. It like I said, I put my biases aside, but you know, and I have way more personal animus with Gibson, and you know, life has dealt him some interesting cards, and
for sure.
You know, and so maybe he's put some of that behind him. But it's hard to bury a lot of that stuff. I mean, look at Morris was his own worst enemy. That's why it took him so long to get into Hall of Fame. The same problem with Lou Whitaker, to a different degree. Lou Whitaker just never played the game. The media game, you've mentioned it 100 times, trying to interview him was like trying to interview a tennis shoe.
And when the media controls you getting into the Hall of Fame, this is what happens.
But you're right about Matt Shepard in developing a relationship with Jack Morris. He has a very different kind of relationship with Kirk Gibson, and it works too.
It's
a lot funnier.
It is funnier. Gibson is funny. Morris is not funny. I don't think Jack Morris is ever going to be funny.
Yeah.
And I like Petrie in the studio.
Yes, I do too.
And Craig Monroe is turned himself into a pretty decent guy. Yeah. He wouldn't have the job if he hadn't played for the Tigers.
Correct.
But but neither would Jim Price, who I still
Jack Morris. I agree with you. I learn something about pitching almost every time I listen to him. Kirk Gibson, you learn about hitting, much like you learned about hitting when George Kell and Al Kaline were together. And what I like about Gibson is he brings a manager's perspective.
He does
too,
the mental aspects of the game.
Three steps ahead.
Gibson really talks a lot about that, and it's
that's
interesting.
Probably the weirdest or unintended consequences. We've talked about this. It's been a while since we did. About, you know, Gibson pretty much teed up to take over for our buddy Brad Ausmus, and then coming down with Parkinson's. And that might have spelled the difference. It might have put that Tigers team over the edge and gotten Ilitch the World Series that he deserved.
Gibson was all the
great. Did a great job.
The right
for the
guy right time for that team. It would have been perfect for him to slide in there, and didn't happen.
Where are we at here? Speaking of baseball.
Lo and behold,
as I said, take the under runs every single chance you get. In FanDuel, you can bet that they have the best packet of baseball bets. I could tell you because my FanDuel account is in pretty good shape, guys. We've all had the dream tie game, bottom of the ninth, bases loaded. Well, on FanDuel Sportsbook, you get more than one shot to swing for the fences because FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free. That's right. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win, but you've got to use the promo code WGRY.
That's right. It's the number one sportsbook. The app is simple to use, and you've got great odds on all different betting markets. Unique, fun bet types like game on parlays, always on promotions. It lets you get more action out of every game, and when you win, FanDuel will pay your winnings in as little as 24 hours.
Just download the FanDuel Sports app and sign up with promo code WGRY to get in on the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code WGRY.
21 and over, must be present in Michigan. Can't stress that enough. First online real money wager, and have internet.
Yeah, that's important as
First
well.
First online real money wager for only risk-free bets. Refund issues at a non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. And guys, just for a betting tutorial here on the radio, there are so many things that you can bet on in baseball. You can bet every game before the game starts, whether Miguel Cabrera is going to hit a home run, how many strikeouts Tarek Skubal is going to get. I've made some of those bets. There's also futures for who's going to win the division and everything else.
Yep.
So have some fun with it. Go ahead, enter that promo code WGRY that doesn't cost you anything. In fact, your first bet is risk-free up to $1,000 if you have that kind of tchotchkes to put into action, or it could be $100 or $200. I like throwing just little tiny little bets, especially in golf. Yeah. You know, like I put a bet on that I told J-Bo about, and I didn't. He didn't finish yesterday because they got rained out. But I had Charlie Hoffman was plus 350 to finish in the top 10. He's been playing pretty good golf the last couple of days. So I put $10 on him. It's going to pay $35 back if he makes it inside the top 10. I've hit a couple of those things. Like we were talking about the Milwaukee Bucks, plus 550. Mm-hmm. I put $25 on them. So we're going to see what that's like. But as Rich and Keith will attest, it just gives you a little bit more impetus when you're you're not sitting back in your seat so much at the end of the game, Keith. You're right. Sitting on.
Yeah. You say you're betting a little bit of hockey. Would you put money on futures with the Toronto Maple Leafs when they closed to 3-2? They were down 3-2. They were plus 550.
No, I thought about that bet, but I'd lost so many in-game bets on hockey. Yeah. I think I've got a feel for it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, as it gets tighter, goal scoring is coming down. I mean, the bet that was like almost an automatic. That I told Keith or J-Bo about was the Avalanche Golden Knights second game.
Yeah.
Now, the first game, they blew the Knights out, right?
Yeah.
So I knew the Knights would play better defense. Mm-hmm. So the under of 5.5, I thought, was a lock.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it went into overtime. It still was a 5-goal game.
Yep.
Now, you know, that Avalanche team, I mean, if we can get Tampa, Colorado, in the Stanley Cup, that is going to be a worthwhile series.
I agree
series.
Completely. That's a good one. Yep. That's
I mean,
a very good
you
one.
Know, that that line that was on the ice for the bulk of the third period, Kucherov, Stamkos, Braden Point, that's better than that Marchand line, if you ask me.
Of Boston?
It's right up there. And the Colorado Avalanche have McKinnon, Mika Rantanen, and
I don't know
Landis
those guys nearly as well.
Oh,
other than they're
goodness.
Just like we said, this is the fastest.
Some great line.
This is the fastest hockey team that I have ever seen in my entire life. Even better than some of the Russian teams in the 70s.
Oh yeah, the speed kills.
Yeah.
And that Vegas series is pretty good.
Vegas isn't in the same
but
league.
They're not right now. Yeah. No. No. They're not.
No, I mean, well, Vegas has got a lot of those guys that came through, still on the ice, that came through the
expansion
draft,
yeah.
And they just don't have the speed to keep up
Vegas is. Let's see what they do. They're going home now to for games 3 and 4 in that series. They're still pretty good. Marc-Andre Fleury is a really good goaltender. He can stand on his head, and it could be 2-2 after 4 games.
We'll see. I hope so, because I just want more of that hockey
kidding.
Games. When we return on Friday Faceoff, we'll be on the phone with Jake from the Record Eagle Sports Department, checking in on what's happening there locally. And, of course, Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio is brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey, open for gaming, dining, and sports booking every day. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And Jake Atnip from the Record Eagle Sports Department is joining us. Jake, good morning.
Good morning. Very, very good to be here. Excited to be on with you guys.
Well, we had your buddy on for a couple of times, and now turning over to the real voice of the Get Around.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I am the host over at the Get Around. And I know you guys have heard about that, the podcast that we do once a week, hype for local sports. Definitely a lot of fun, and we have a lot to talk about here this week. This is the busiest week of sports that we've had in a long time.
Let us have it.
No, I mean, if we're just going to dive right into it, if you start off at the early start of the week, I mean, this is the playoffs right here. We got baseball districts starting yesterday and today, and then we got, you know, Traverse City West, Traverse City Central, all the way out in Alpena for baseball and softball, playing with Mount Pleasant and Alpena in that district today. You got track state finals coming up tomorrow with, you know, plenty of individuals. I think there's over 100 individuals going across the state to track state finals tomorrow, and that's going to be one of those big days. We got to see a lot of those really, really good athletes at the Record Eagle John Lober Honor Roll meet this past week. A lot of record-breaking performances and some stuff that, like, you really have to talk about, especially when you talk about some of those boys' races just this past week and what's upcoming with Benzie Central's Hunter Jones and Traverse City Central's Luke Van Huysen. They both broke the record from Ryan Shea, that we all know who Ryan Shea is, one of the best runners to ever come out of Northern Michigan. They both broke the record this past week in the 1600 that Ryan Shea set back in 1997 at that meet, which is just something that has to be talked about, because when you have not just one, but two runners in the same race beat a 21-year-old record, I think it's something to talk about looking into the state finals. Hunter Jones is going to be participating in three events that he is looking to win the state final in. In the 800, 1600, and 3200 races this weekend. As a sophomore, I think we actually have a chance to see another runner, somebody of the likes like Anthony Berry, or somebody of the likes like Ryan Shea, who are just completely dominant from Northern Michigan. And as a sophomore, somebody like Hunter Jones is extremely, extremely exciting to watch out for.
Yeah, certainly. Jake, real quick, on your podcast, by the way, congratulations. I mean, 178 episodes, I believe, you guys just finished up. Congratulations on that. And you had two real interesting guests on the podcast, two pitchers, one from TC West, one from TC Central. One's just, excuse me, finishing his sophomore year, and the other one finishing his junior year. These are two kids that are going to go on and pitch at Louisville.
Yeah, I mean, that's exciting in itself. And it's weird you say that one's finishing their junior year. And Wyatt Danielevich, he is actually playing his first year of high school baseball this year after suffering an injury his freshman year. And then obviously with everybody losing their year of baseball last year, this is the first time that we've got to see these two guys in action in Northern Michigan. And they have disappointed not even once. I mean, Wyatt Danielevich over at Traverse City West has just been striking kids out. Like, literally, it is his professional job. There's been at least three games this year that he's had 15-plus strikeouts. Every time that he is on the mound, Traverse City West has a very good chance to win. If not, they are favored to win. You look at Josh Klug from Traverse City Central, that sophomore that you were talking about, just got picked up to go down to Louisville. But he has led Traverse City Central to another great season, you know, a share of that Big North Conference title. And they are going to be looking at a chance possibly today to face off in a district final over at Alpena. That would be a very exciting matchup. I know we talked about it on our podcast this week, but if we could see those two Louisville commits on the mound facing off against each other in a district final over at Alpena today, that might be one of the best baseball games you could ask for all year round.
Yeah, no question. No question about it. I mean, you guys, tremendous job. Great, Matt. You had those guys in studio, and it was kind of an interesting story on how they're going to end up at Louisville.
Yeah, definitely. Somehow, they ended up becoming friends through a training program back when they were 11 or 12 and have kind of been unbreakable ever since. Wyatt Danielevich, you know, went through the whole process and got to go down to the combine and ended up signing with Louisville, and his friend Josh kind of looked at him and said, "Hey, man, like, we've been talking about this for some time. I want to play ball with you at the next level. It's time for me to step my game up." And sure enough, Josh Klug, over the last year and a half, those has stepped his game up and did the entire virtual recruitment process that a lot of our athletes in Northern Michigan had to go through last year in order to find their homes in college. You know, a lot of them never even got to meet their college coaches, but obviously, you know, Josh, just being a sophomore, has plenty of time to continue to impress not only us, but the coaches down at Louisville. And, I mean, we still have an entire year, sans just today, of seeing these two guys play in Northern Michigan. And that, if that's not exciting, I don't know what is.
How did Louisville come up here and steal a couple of good pitchers away that should be at Michigan or Michigan State?
From what I was told, it really was just coach connections. And, you know, sometimes that's all you need in high school. A lot of times it's about who you know. And that's been told to everybody from way back when you're a kid. But with coach connections and camps and being in the right place at the right time really makes a big difference. Klug had a little bit of a connection down there with some family who lived in Louisville. But more or less, these guys formed a relationship with the recruiting coach, and they really fell in love with the area, and they really fell in love with the school. Sometimes those relationships are really what matters, and a recruiting coordinator can make all the difference in the world for a school. It doesn't make a difference if you're, you know, a lifelong fan or in-state. If you've got the right people looking for the right people, it's usually pretty easy to find a good fit.
Was that All-Star game that they were talking about, the track All-Star thing? Was that last
Tuesday, last? Right? Yep.
Yeah. How did that go, Jake?
Are you talking about the honor roll meet?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the honor roll meet was incredible. There was 6 meet records broken in the 47th rendition of the honor roll meet, Record Eagle John Lober honor roll meet. 6 meet records. There was 5 girls records that fell in that 1 boys record. That 1600 is the Ryan Shea Memorial Cup. I'm sure everybody has kind of heard that story, but that record fell when Hunter Jones beat it. He ran a 4:14, beating it by 3.5 seconds, which is just incredible. And then the girls' side, we had Tara Townsend from Frankfurt. She broke the pole vault record at the honor roll meet by 14 inches and went 11'9" on Tuesday. She was the state champion in Division IV in the pole vault as a freshman.
As a freshman.
So she is actually defending her state title when she goes to state finals tomorrow. And she vaulted her best ever just a couple days ago on Tuesday. So that's someone else to look out for going down to state finals. A couple of really good throwers from Traverse City Central are just been probably the best that Traverse City Central has had in female throwers in years, if not ever. They are going back and forth and breaking records. Mackenzie Borer broke the school shot put record, her own shot put record, and the meet shot put record on Tuesday. And then Leah Dozema did the same thing in the discus. And they basically are both going down the states and have a good chance in the higher divisions to bring home a throwing state championship with the numbers that they have been putting up. Another extremely exciting one is the 4x200 relay, the 800-meter relay for the Traverse City West girls team. They broke the meet record, and it was the longest standing meet record from back all the way back from 1977. That was only 3 years after the meet started that this record's been standing. And they broke the record all the way from 1977, and that was one of the bigger moments that the Traverse City West track program has had. I mean, Traverse City West track program has been around for 22-something years. That record was about twice as old as their entire program, so that was a big one. And then Sarah Skirmerhorn had a tie in the 200, and it was another really great performance from her. She was part of that relay as well. And, I mean, you just look all up and down the board. The track performances that have happened, not just this last week, but this entire spring, have been absolutely incredible. And tomorrow is going to be a big day for Northern Michigan track teams.
Well, Jake, sounds like your schedule is swamped. So thanks for taking some time out to join us here on Friday Faceoff. You're going to have a lot of material to cover both in the Record Eagle Sports pages and on the Get Around podcast.
Yes, we will. I really appreciate you guys having me on. Make sure you check us out on Mondays and Tuesdays for the Get Around podcast. We have local athletes on every week and hopefully a couple of state champions after this weekend.
I think you will.
Be awesome. Thanks, Jake.
All right. Thanks, Jake.
Have a good one, guys.
How'd you like to be that busy?
Jake needs to have another cup of coffee.
I think Jake is going to need a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
The energy and the information he brings to you. Absolutely. No wonder they have had such success with that podcast.
No question about it.
They're great with the kids.
They
treat the kids like they're equals.
Yes.
And ask them real relevant questions. It's, you know, they're doing a great job.
It's very well done. Yeah. Very well done.
And they got such a big area and so many athletes and so many sports to cover. you know, my hat's off to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. To be that flexible, to be able to cover every one of these sports during each season, it's amazing.
Keith, you got something there?
Well, we should mention the Detroit Red Wings held serve in the NHL draft lottery. They didn't go backwards. They stayed with the number 6 pick overall. They could have gone to 1 or 2. That didn't happen. But the
Buffalo got it again.
Yes, they did.
Second time in 4 years. The Wings, the best. They had a 55% chance of dropping back to 7th or 8th, and a 30% chance of staying at 6th. Steve Yzerman's happy to stay at 6 and not move back. They're going to get a good player.
Well, who knows what they're going to get. We've been talking about this and off and on about, you know, there might be one or two players. There's not even a clear number one.
No. The two kids from Michigan probably going to go 1 and 2. The Owen Power, the defenseman, and Berniers, the center. Those two guys, this draft is, they don't have a transformational generational player at number 1 or 2, but they have, it goes deep, about 12 deep. The first 12 teams who pick are going to get really good players. Okay. The Wings are going to get a really good player at 6. We just don't know where. Is Yzerman going to go to Europe again? Is he going to take a goalie? There's a Swedish goalie rated in the top 7 or 8. He always finds a way to surprise us.
In the draft, they got 2 in the first round and 2 in the second round. So they're going to get some players. It wouldn't surprise you, Keith, I'm sure, to see a lot of college players taken, because that was the only active league going on.
That's right. Scouts are handicapped because the OHL didn't play this year. Yep. And there were limited action. A lot of young kids went to Europe to play, so the scouts were busy over there, and that's where Detroit's strength is, really. They still have – everybody has scouts over there. Detroit has the best scouts. So look for Detroit to go to Europe for many of those 12 picks.
Well, we need some Russians, because that's all I hear in the playoffs now are Russian names.
Russian goaltenders especially,
yeah,
my goodness.
No doubt about
you're
it.
Right.
Yeah, so
you're
we don't need a Swedish goalie. Anything from you, Rich?
No, all things are good. Post-Memorial weekend, everyone enjoy the 90-degree temperatures we're going to have in northern Michigan here. It's real summer this weekend.
Get out on the golf course. If you like golf, we've got the Finding Fairways radio program that plays here each Saturday and Sunday at 9 a.m., and we'll be back with you next week on Friday Face-Off. Thanks to our good friends at Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey, open for gaming, dining, and sports booking now.